This week on Vaticano, join us at the Vatican for the Jubilee of Artists, where you'll discover your vocation to beauty that renews the world in hope. Then sit down with Cardinal Jose Mendoza, overseeing the Jubilee of Artists and one of the Catholic Church's most original voices. He's also a renowned poet. And this week on Vaticano, a conversation about knighthood and chivalric virtues, things of the past or something we can apply today. Vaticano starts now. Pope Francis has appointed Sister Raffaella Petrini as president of the Pontifical Commission for Vatican City-State and president of the Governorate of Vatican City-State. As announced by the Holy See Press Office, Petrini will begin her new roles on March the 1st, succeeding Cardinal Fernando Vergez in both positions. Petrini, who has served as Secretary General of the Governorate since November of 2021, brings extensive academic and administrative experience to her new role. Born in Rome on January the 15th, 1969, she holds a degree in political science and a doctorate from the Pontifical University of St. Thomas Aquinas, where she's also a professor. Prior to her appointment at the Governorate, Petrini worked at the Congregation for the Evangelization of Peoples from 2005 to 2021. This appointment follows Pope Francis's recent selection of Sister Simona Brambilla as Prefect of the Dicastery for Institutes of Consecrated Life and Societies of Apostolic Life, continuing a trend of women being appointed to senior leadership roles in the Vatican. His is the most important role when a new pope is elected. The dean of the College of Cardinals prepares everything for the conclave. But as is the case for all other cardinals, he's only allowed to enter into the Sistine Chapel and participate in the elections if he is younger than 80 years of age. For both, who Pope Francis reconfirmed as dean and vice dean, this is not the case. Dean Cardinal Giovanni Battista Re is 91 years old, and Vice Dean Cardinal Leonardo Sandri is 81. If a conclave was to take place soon, neither of them would be leading it. Together with the Camarlengo Cardinal Kevin Farrell, Cardinal Re would be preparing the conclave and helping with the Church's administration during the vacancy of the Holy See. Inside the Sistine Chapel, the conclave would be led by the most senior cardinal bishop. Of the 252 living cardinals, there are only 13 who are cardinal bishops. This is the highest tier, followed by cardinal priests and cardinal deacons. The most senior cardinal bishop today is Cardinal Pietro Parolin, who is the current Secretary of State and seen as number two in the church hierarchy. He would preside over the 138 cardinals electing a new successor of Peter. As of today, Pope Francis has appointed 110 of them. Pope Benedict XVI, 23, and Pope John Paul II, 5. The 88-year-old Holy Father reappointed the Dean and Vice Dean this February, briefly before he came down with a bout of bronchitis, which ultimately caused his hospitalization.
Hello and welcome to this week's Vaticano Updates, the most important news from the Holy Father and the Vatican. Following his hospitalization, Pope Francis received heartfelt letters from inmates at Milan's San Vittore prison after a planned meeting at a concert with them were canceled. The inmates, who had prepared a special concert for the Pope as part of their Rehabilitation Free Music program, expressed affection and prayers for his recovery. Cardinal Charles Mungbo has expressed deep sorrow over the brutal killing of Father Donald, who was murdered on February the 14th. The president of Myanmar's Bishops' Conference called for an end to the violence and urged justice to prevent such tragedies in the future. In his message of condolences, Cardinal Bo emphasized the need for unity and reconciliation, praying that the sacrifice of Father Donald and countless others may bring peace to the nation. In a recent interview with Lecco di Bergamo, the Vatican Secretary of State, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, called for a multilateral approach to peace, stressing the need for inclusive solutions. He expressed also cautious optimism over the Gaza truce, noting that progress, such as hostage releases and increased aid, has been made. Parolin highlighted the importance of supporting Syria's stability and warned that mutual distrust hinders diplomacy. And he also emphasized Europe's need to reconnect with its Christian heritage to regain unity and global influence. In solidarity with the Vatican's call for peace, African bishops have urged Christians to unite in a triduum of prayer and fasting from March the 3rd to the 5th. Especially, it's about peace in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The bishops of the Symposium of Episcopal Conferences of Africa and Madagascar highlighted the ongoing violence, particularly in eastern Congo, and condemned the exploitation of Africa's resources, which fuels the conflict. This weekend, from Friday the February 21st to Sunday, February the 23rd, the Jubilee of Deacons took place, inviting permanent deacons and their families to share experiences, attend catechesis, make a pilgrimage to the Holy Door, and participate in Holy Mass at St. Peter's Square. Thank you again so much for watching this week's Vaticano Updates. In Rome, Andreas Tonhauser for EWTN Vaticano.
In a few moments, we'll be back with a special look at the Jubilee of Artists.
The church has always had a relationship with artists that can be described as both natural and special.
The Jubilee of Artists and the World of Culture kicked off with an international conference at the Vatican Museums to discuss the transmission of religious and artistic heritage. The director of London's National Gallery, Gabriele Finaldi, emphasized the transcendent power of art.
The encounter with art and beauty is always, in some sense, an encounter with that which is numinous, with that which is beyond. And so the church in particular has been very skillful in making use of the arts to make more profound the religious experience.
Finaldi emphasized the importance of teaching appreciation for beauty to future generations.
Art and beauty can speak across time, they can speak across different human experiences. And so it's very important that, particularly with young people, we give them the opportunity and try and help develop a sensibility.
Over the Jubilee weekend, the doors of the Lateran Palace opened up to the public for a variety of performances by students from different art schools across Rome.
Il dolore si è condannato a tacere.
Father Gabriele Vecchione works closely with the youth and encourages them to use their talents to glorify God.
Per glorificare Dio,
to glorify God, you simply have to be truthful, in the sense that St. Thomas Aquinas said that wherever there is the first material, whether it's painting, music, drama, acting, it is already glorifying God, sometimes unconsciously, sometimes implicitly, sometimes explicitly. I think that wherever there is the love for the truth, God is already being spoken of. And how can we use performance to glorify God?
Artists from around the world traveled in to showcase their artwork and connect with other like-minded people. Pope Francis met with Nikas Safronov, one of Russia's most beloved contemporary artists. Safronov gifted a personal painting to the Holy Father and shared that it deeply moved the Pope.
I was in Buenos Aires on a creative business trip. I had a client there. And when I flew there, I found out that Pope Francis had started his priestly ministry in this church. And I took a photo and then I sketched it. When I came back to Moscow, I painted it. This was around 2020.
Safronov will be returning home with deep inspiration drawn from his time in the Eternal City.
You know, before this interview today, I was walking through Rome on foot, stopping in every church along the way. It made me think about how, even in Russia, we lack churches like these. So many were destroyed during the Soviet era, and that was a tremendous loss. You can truly feel the spirituality that fills you. It enriches my creative work, and every time I return from Italy, I feel an incredible surge of strength. I do a lot of sketches here, and later, they become part of an entire series.
A few select artists have been given a small room near the Vatican as a space to exhibit their artwork throughout this Jubilee year. The first artist to do so is Chinese-born French painter Yan Peiming, who reflected on hope in his 27 portraits of prisoners and staff at the Regina Celi prison.
I believe the theme was given by Pope Francis, who was very attuned to the idea of hope. When you are in prison, you have to prepare for the days you will eventually be released. So I think this is a universal theme. In this exhibition, you cannot go inside. People view the exhibition from the outside. It's like a prison. There are 27 people crowded into a small space, which is already symbolic. When you visit exhibitions and museums around the world, it always starts with ancient paintings connected to the church. So it's the foundation of another civilization. For example, when you see the Louvre in Paris or the Uffizi in Florence, it starts there. Artists in the past lived thanks to the church.
Art and spirituality have long shared a powerful connection, with artists using their work to explore and challenge our beliefs. From religious icons to modern expressions, art invites us to reflect on the divine and our place in the world. Art is truly the debut of faith, said the great Catholic poet Paul Claudel, a sentiment that resonates deeply with Cardinal José Tolentino Calasa de Mendoza, heading the Vatican's Office for Education and Culture. In this exclusive interview, the Cardinal delves into the significance of culture and art in the Church's mission, particularly in regard to the Jubilee for Artists and the world of culture.
Your Eminence, you're at the helm of the Vatican Office for Culture and Education, and your dicastery was instrumental in preparing the Jubilee for the Artists and the world of culture. Why does the world need culture? Why does the Church need to engage with the world of culture?
We know how the Gospel, in the mystery of the incarnation of Jesus, is revealed to men in an incarnated, enculturated form. As the Council reminds us, culture then is an ally of the manifestation of God. And within cultures, artists have a special place because they are able to make the mystery visible or audible. In this sense, artists are collaborators with the Church in the search for truth and in translating the mystery of God into a language of the senses.
Could you give me an example how artists today make this mystery of faith visible?
For example, we listen to Bach's Passion according to St. Matthew, or we listen to the music of Handel's Messiah, and we grasp a profound sense of transcendence, an interpretation of the mysteries of Jesus, of his life, of his passion, but also a great painting, whether figurative or more minimalist or abstract. It is capable of depicting the mystery of God. Artists are important for our humanity and our search for God because they help us to constantly seek a truth that is ultimately not of this world. That is why a great Catholic poet, Paul Claudel, wrote something very true. He said, "Art is a propedeutic for faith." That is, art prepares our soul for the encounter with the absolute, for the encounter with God.
The dialogue between the church and artists has always been a dialogue very close to each other, but also sometimes with the tension, even if we think of Michelangelo, but also with contemporary artists. Sometimes there's controversy about this as well. How are we managing this today as a church, this dialogue with the world of art?
Today, we are really talking about a friendship that needs to be rebuilt. We need the contribution that artists can give to make it more alive, more adapted to the senses. One thing is this dialogue of the church with the world of art in general, with believers and non-believers. But at the same time today, we see a very positive sign that is within the church. So many people are discovering their artistic vocation. We have in our Catholic communities a kind of awakening of the vocation of so many young artists, musicians, painters, poets, who are trying to unite their faith with their work, their research in the field of art, and this is certainly a sign of hope for us.
Sicuramente è un segno di speranza per noi.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your listening as well.
We'll be back after a short break with more on Vaticano.
We must rediscover the dignity of humankind.
The importance of hope is underestimated in our time.
And he got his strength and his hope out of the prayer.
The most important action is prayer.
Just a stone's throw away from Rome's famous Piazza Navona, one can find an architectural treasure, Santa Maria dell'Anima. Closely connected to the Austro-Hungarian Empire, it houses an important relic of Austria's last emperor, who ended World War I and was exiled, Blessed Karl. One of the oldest orders of Catholic knights chose the library beneath the church to host an encounter between their knights, the Vatican Curia, and Roman society.
Why are you promoting the concept of hope? What does that mean, and what relevance does that have today?
My grandfather, Blessed Karl, he was coming to be emperor of Austria and king of Hungary in one of the most complicated times possible, in the middle of the First World War. He prayed a lot. He was every day going to Mass, and he got his strength and his hope out of the prayer and the daily connection he had with God in his very personal way.
The Order of St. George goes back centuries and is related to Habsburg Lorraine, the former imperial and royal house of the Holy Roman Empire. In order to celebrate the Jubilee year, the Order hosted a panel discussion titled The Power of Hope.
The importance of hope is underestimated in our time. It's very often mixed up with optimism. But the main thing about hope is that it implicates a call for action. So I think it was of tremendous importance that our Pope, you know, put this holy year under the motto of Pilgrims of Hope, because we are all pilgrims. Our whole life is a pilgrimage. But this pilgrimage, you know, gets its sense from having hope.
The main celebrant of the Mass before and one of the participants in the panel discussion was Cardinal Kurt Koch. He stressed the importance virtues and chivalric values have today.
I think we must rediscover the dignity of humankind. And this is a very big challenge in the societies today, above all on the beginning and of the end of human life, and to refine this, to do what is justice in this world, and to have the force from the prayer, I think this is the most important thing for a Christian.
The Hungarian ambassador to the Holy See, Edward von Habsburg-Lorraine, was also present. He spoke about one of his most recent books on the values that have guided his family through the centuries. The Habsburg Way has been a big success internationally, not least in the U.S.
I wrote this book and I began giving interviews to American podcasts and YouTubers. And I spoke to people who felt they understood every line of a book that I wrote about the Habsburgs. And I remember one conversation with a podcaster, and she was like, "You know, Mr. Ambassador, I read that chapter where you speak about subsidiarity, and I had the impression you spoke to me. And I thought, wow. When I was young, values was something that I thought was boring. Values is a word that doesn't mean anything. But in the world where we live today, people rediscover that we need these things.
Values are important, especially when it comes to the world of politics and diplomacy.
I've been asked personally a number of times, "Ah, you're a diplomat, you must be lying all the time." I said, "No, I never lie." That's absolutely a concept that you cannot be credible if you ever lie. You can skirt around the truth, you can say nothing, you can try to evade, but you cannot lie.
In the keynote speech from Benedict XVI, his encyclical Spes Salvi, he made this connection between hope and action. What actions are needed today?
The most important action is prayer, and I want to encourage all of you to at least, even just a little prayer changes your actions very, very strongly.